Hey everyone, welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Glenn is out this week. I'm filling in. I'm joined as always by Justin Labar. Justin, how's it going?
Very good, very good. Good Wednesday night of wrestling.
Yeah, and also Mr. Matt Morgan. How you doing, Matt?
Good, what's up?
So two shows to get into, both pretty strong, I thought. AEW Dynamite featuring Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy, NXT, which was highlighted by the triple threat with the winner going on to qualify for the NXT North American title ladder match at TakeOver with Kushida and Cameron Grimes and the returning Velveteen Dream. Real quick, Matt, your thoughts on both shows?
I found that main event incredibly disbelievable. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a hater. It wasn't good. How do I say that, right? The Chris Jericho match with AEW is what I'm talking on specifically. I'm a huge Orange Cassidy mark. This doesn't work for me. I don't know how to say it any other way.
It wasn't underwhelming. I thought in general, I guess with both shows, as the night went on, I found myself getting a little more disinterested and satisfied with both shows. But yeah, that main event, it didn't feel like a main event. It felt like, okay, we've already kind of squeezed all we need to get out of Orange Cassidy and Jericho, pun intended.
The rest of AEW, I thought was incredible, just for the record. I thought it was awesome. I just did not like that main event, and it really was frustrating that they ended it the way they ended it. And it's the problem with Orange Cassidy. I can't believe I'm hating on Orange Cassidy, but I don't like it.
Underwhelming finish of the roll-up, which they barely got off in that match.
It doesn't look right. I don't know how to explain it any other way. It does not look right, any of it.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Orange Cassidy as well, but in that top spot, I'm kind of with you. It doesn't work for me. If he's underneath working with other guys, I think that's great. But in the main event, it just doesn't work.
Rest of the show was amazing. I loved the whole show. Besides that, sorry.
Yeah, Nelson Moreno with the $1.99 super chat saying Dynamite was fire, and Justin Lopez bringing up that the roll up spot looked botched too. So yeah, that's
the dread. The dragon screw leg drag essentially. Chris kept back bumping, and I don't know why. Maybe he was hurt. I don't know, but Muda gave me one. I'd never taken one in my career until for some reason I was with All Japan Wrestling. And when the guy grabs your leg and goes to, it's very simple to roll with it and go with the momentum in which they're it's like an arm drag, but on your leg. And Cassidy did it three times to Chris. And Chris back bumped all three times. So I was wondering if maybe he hurt himself. The announcers covered for him. But I wonder if Chris got injured out there. I wonder if he hurt his knee tonight. It was very awkward.
All right. Well, I'll start off with Dynamite. Then Justin will take over for NXT. But the show opened up. The Young Bucks versus the Dark Order. Grayson and Evil Uno. I will say this. With the Dark Order, I don't like the gimmick. But these are two of the best guys, and they are a great tag team. Evil Uno. And,
they are. Evil Uno's losing weight. He's losing weight, by the way. We've got to point that out. I think he's, trying to make the most of his minutes. That he had a huge layoff, and when they brought him back, he looked like he's been in better shape. Even on being the Elite Series, he's very, very engaging. I'm happy for the guy because he's somebody I used to crap on pretty religiously on here. And I like to be proven wrong. He's done a good job.
Yeah, he's gotten in good shape. And, to your point of him on being the Elite, I just find him, if you're a funny guy, should you be in this cult, a cult gimmick?
Because we've given up on the whole gimmick. I like to say we all have. So when I see them being funny, especially like John Silver, I pop for it. Because it's better than what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Uno does look better, as Matt's pointed out. It's odd, Uno's movement, because it started out where it seemed like he was the leader of this Dark Order thing, and then all of a sudden it was, no, we're waiting for the higher power, and then it's like now he's meshed in with the rest of them. But, he was in better shape, kept up with the Young Bucks pretty well. It's hard to have a bad tag match with the Young Bucks. Good opener.
They're a good tag team. I like it. This is two good tag teams out of the Dark Order, I will argue, back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. The finish saw Grayson bring Matt to the stage, and he told the rest of the Dark Order to block the tunnel. Grayson Uno went for fatality on Nick Jackson, who rolled up Uno for the 1-2-3 before Grayson can break it up. So the Young Bucks win by a pinfall. This was Tag Team Appreciation Night that FTR had set up a few weeks ago. Now, they had said, didn't FTR say that one of their demands was that they'd have a tag rope?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Very clearly.
Yeah, they didn't have it tonight. And they did have it on the AEW Women's Tournament this past Monday. So maybe they just didn't like it.
That's interesting. You know what? I should have noticed that, and I didn't.
Well, but if you have a tag rope, then you have to use it or you have to enforce. And maybe they just found just the style of the tag team wrestling in AEW that it was going to be hard to actually enforce or even have. So they just said, let's just get rid of it. I mean, I don't know. Because the fact that they did have it, and it's not like it's all the same setup, same right. place, same ring, same building.
It's not like they couldn't find, like rope was hard to find or something.
Right.
Right.
So backstage, we saw Wardlow bringing out MJF, and MJF. Shoves one of his campaign guys to the side. They announced that Hikaru Shida was going to be in action tonight and that Jon Moxley would be appearing live. So anyway, we went to this MJF promo. So MJF said that he's currently beating Moxley 500,000 to -1,000% in the polling numbers. He laid down, kept calling him Dictator John, said... let's see what he said. The company deserves quality leadership, and Moxley might be a great wrestler, but he's no leader. He called Moxley a rabid dog, and he said that it's time for Moxley to fork the keys over to someone who's better than him. Moxley's music hit, so MJF then sent everyone out to the entrances of the stands, and so Moxley then comes through the entrance, lays him out, and then cut a promo, a pretty strong promo, saying that that he was going to get revenge on Moxley at All Out. So
this was good. This was good. This was another very good fire promo. Again.
Yeah, but by both parties, MJF did his part, and then Moxley with his, and a nice touch. You know, this is the first time we've ever seen Moxley come from the entranceway, I believe, since being associated with AEW. So it's a nice little touch to use that now to fake him out to get Wardlow and everybody else out of the ring, so Moxley can get in there with MJF. And I don't know, it's a funny little thing. Moxley goes back to the, I don't even know if they have a name for it, but their gorilla position, and it's kind of funny. You can see Tony Khan in the background, kind of with his facial expressions, kind of selling the Moxley promo. So a little nugget
dork.
There. Who, me or him?
Him.
I had to clarify.
MJF, man, I mean, he's one of my favorite promos in the business right now. I didn't think this was his best promo in AEW, but it was still strong. I thought Moxley was really good. So, kudos to AEW for putting, one of their kind of homegrown talents, more or less, in the main event of a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
NYC Demon Diva saying AEW women are like John Cena. You can't see them. We'll get to that later. And then Nelson Moreno trying to take us off topic here already. $4.99. Sorry to be off topic. Matt, would you join AEW or WWE for a comeback title run?
Title run? WWE, it's more money. What kind of question is that? But where my heart would be, where I'd rather be, and have like control of my character, for sure AEW.
Matt, I still think it's a layup. They're in Florida, and they're doing this election gimmick with MJF. It's a layup to get you involved.
Set it up somehow.
That would be. That is an easy one.
Dude, I'm not busting my ass every day. You guys should figure a way to set this up. I'll do it.
Yeah. If I set it up, can I get 10% of the pay?
Sure.
All right.
So there was a backstage promo with Matt Hardy. They showed Sammy Guevara throwing that chair into Matt Hardy's head, busting him open. He needed 13 stitches. They said that he'll need to take 10 days off, which is a very exact number, and that's because the next Dynamite will be not next Wednesday, but a week from Saturday. So it's going to be going it's going to be on the same day as NXT TakeOver. And depending on if the playoffs go late, which it shouldn't go that late, they shouldn't be head-to-head.
And it'll be a weird head-to-head if it was, even so, because you have Dynamite that's on cable, but NXT that's on, streaming platform. So,
right. yeah. So, you wouldn't expect NXT to hurt Dynamite as much as it does, you know, on a given week. But at the same time, Dynamite's on an odd night. So, anyway, Matt cut a promo. He said that 10 days is perfect timing. He said he's not going to wait until then. He's going to hang around to end Sammy. Then he saw someone wearing the jacket that Sammy usually wears. So he just took him and beat the crap out of him, threw him into a garage door and kept slamming his head into it. And it turned out it was one of the referees. So
nothing. I got nothing for that.
But obviously what happened was a complete shoot. It was an accident. Sammy using the wrong chair last week, and they're taking and run with it. The red adds the green, right? So they're taking, they're running with it. Matt's running with it on social media about just ripping Sammy and safety. And so I'm that's good. It's kind of added a little something. And I'm not good that Matt legit got hurt and last week, but it's kind of good that it's added in a whole other layer of emotion to this feud here.
I just want to reiterate, they're talking about safety in professional wrestling, where another man's trying to harm another man. Just want to point that out.
But throwing a chair to somebody's head.
Hey, he wanted to win. He wants to beat him up. This isn't ballet.
You're right, Matt.
What's the hardest you've been hit with a chair, Matt?
Bob, go watch it. Bob Holly hits me, Nathan Jones with a headshot, and then me right after. Seriously, why? It's pretty crazy. My head went right through the damn chair.
Did you were you like knocked out on your feet or anything, or you were still okay?
I felt fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, we had Cody with Arn Anderson, Brandi Rhodes, and everyone else, the rest of the Nightmare Factory, versus Scorpio Sky. Cody had his new belt, so his belt is now complete.
I'm sorry. if this was WWE, people would be killing this, by the way, about the belt. Just pointing that out.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'll get to something here in a minute. So they had a really good match.
Yeah, this match was sweet. This is one of my favorites of the night, actually. I love Scorpio Sky.
This actually might have been my favorite of the night. But the end saw Cody hit Scorpio Sky with the crossroads, but he only got a two count. You know, you got your shock face, and then Sky went to the apron, went to hit a slingshot cutter, but Cody hit crossroads again, covered 1-2-3. Cody wins.
1-2-3-4.
Oh yeah, yeah. They botched the count. Yeah, it's 1-2-3-4. Right.
Four Bundy style. I was hoping. First of all, this was a great match. Cody retains. After I didn't mean to cut you off. This was a great match. I really was hoping though this was Scorpio's opportunity to win this title. I really was hoping that's what was going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I've been critical of the Cody matches in the recent weeks when it's with people that are outside of AEW and they take them the distance. So I'm glad they at least did that with Scorpio, a guy that's there who actually I think his record was like 7-1 going in. So he's a guy that should, you know, get, you know, a lengthy match like this, you know, trying to beat Cody. So I like that. And let's not gloss over the biggest part of this. Mike Chioda, after 30 plus years in WWE, Mike Chioda reffing this match for AEW. What, Matt? That's a bit 30 years and then to go to another wrestling company. You know, Hall and Nash weren't with WWE for 30 years when they showed up in WCW. Nobody is.
My God. Let's calm down. It's a referee, folks. Let's settle.
They need a veteran referee that knows how to ref on TV. The refs are not horrible.
That's true. It absolutely helps them.
But it's a big deal.
The fact that that's your first second talking point about this match.
Because nobody had brought it up. Nobody brought it up. I didn't want to not bring it up.
Hashtag Mizark. Who cares? Nobody cares. Nobody should care about a referee. I'm just pointing that out. They're not supposed to be noticed. But yes, I get what you're saying. Personally, I'm sure we're happy for him that he has a job because he's a good dude. But besides that, I thought this was set up for the taking. I really did. I thought this was set up for Scorpio Sky to win. Because what you just said, Justin, and I have more to get to, but like all these other nobodies that don't wrestle, not nobodies, but non-AEW contracted talents take them to the limit, and then their own, I would argue, most athletic, one of their very top baby faces maybe in the future, whatever you want to call Scorpio Sky, does the same thing. It doesn't mean as much because these other, I don't want to say nobodies, but outside entities took Cody to the same distance. I really felt they missed an opportunity. They should have went with Scorpio on this. Cody Rhodes does not need a freaking title. He's Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, but it is good that they're building the title up to so when someone does beat him, it means something, as opposed to, you know, when you have those title reigns where someone loses and it doesn't make the next guy. So
let me ask you this. Did Chris Jericho did a great job, the best job I'll argue anybody in that company could have done for being that first champion for that company. Is John Moxley doing anything with that title? I mean, Moxley's been doing good, but do you get a champion vibe from him? I don't.
He doesn't come across like a larger-than-life superstar, if that's what you mean, no.
Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I'm probably explaining it wrong, but, like, I don't think they should have ever taken the belt off Jericho.
I wonder if it would be different if crowds were there. Because Moxley, you know, getting the big pops. And
that's
a
good point, actually. This is all, that's a very good point. Who knows how the fans would be reacting into any of this. That's a good point.
Right.
But they obviously could
be going crazy for all we know. You're right.
Yeah.
But I think when they lost the fans, maybe they should have called the audible and not took it off Jericho and kept it on. Because I kind of agree. Like Moxley, and I'm a fan of Moxley, but I feel like Jericho felt like a bigger deal with that world title and made the world title feel like a bigger deal.
Yeah.
But they had the fans when he lost it, if you remember. When Moxley beat Jericho, that was with fans. That was at the February pay-per-view.
Oh, well, okay. My mistake.
Wow, February.
Yeah, seems like a lifetime ago.
No kidding. Arian Gomez is asking, isn't this the second time that Scorpio Sky fought Cody for the TNT belt? No, he fought Jericho for the AEW world title.
That was a great match. And that's why I thought he should be at this level as Scorpio Sky.
Yeah. So they cut backstage. Brody Lee's holding the old TNT championship. He shows up on the big screen and says that on Saturday, August 22nd, something big is coming. TikTok, your time is up. He says some other members of the Elite have been taken out, and now it's time for him to put down Cody. He says he's going to take the title out of Cody's hands and give him back the old incomplete title. So it's kind of like they're copying, kind of ripping off Karrion Kross's catchphrase here, and then also ripping off the MVP Apollo Crews angle they just did with the old belt and the new belt and the heel, you know, having the old belt. In this case, the heel having the new belt. It's obviously it's not exactly the same. Nothing's ever going to be, but it's similar enough to where I wouldn't do it. And why would Cody care about getting the old belt back?
That's what I was wondering.
It's I don't know. I got nothing for you other than it's the threat that he's going to take the new belt from him. Maybe. I don't know.
Right. Like, at least WWE did it right on that regard. At least it was MVP who had the brand new title belt that was and Apollo needed to get what was rightfully his.
Yeah,
but why would Cody, what is Cody building a museum of AEW and all of a sudden Brody's, you know, hijacked the, you know, and let's go to the booking question. I mean, we've talked about it on here. Raj, I know you haven't been on necessarily with all the conversations, but like we've talked about how like they've done a disservice to guys like Brody and some of the other big names lose like bigger in stature.
Good guys, yeah.
Yes,
good
I mean
guys
like
guys all have done the job, which
yeah. I mean, so like have. do you think they'll have Cody go is this the one who finally takes the title from Cody? It being Brody?
He doesn't need it.
But like, do you want to have Brody get beat again? Is what I'm saying.
Yikes, no.
That's what I'm asking. I mean,
yeah, I mean, if basically Cody, I'm sure Cody's winning. So he's beaten Lance Archer, he's beaten Brody Lee, and he's beaten Brian Cage with John Moxley. But
beat Wardlow.
Wardlow, yeah. So you've kind of just taken some of the steam off of these big monsters, the few big guys that you have.
Yeah. No bueno.
Yeah. So then we went to Hangman Page and Kenny Omega versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. They had Marco Stunt with them. Another good match. I thought here and there it was a little off, but it wasn't their best match, but I thought it was really good. Hangman Page and Omega getting the pinfall after the last call on Jungle Boy. So I feel like they've done this match a bunch of times, but I guess because they've been in six-man tags and things like that, they haven't.
They've done this. Yeah, six-man. This was a good tag match. I enjoyed it. But there was a couple, super nitpicky here because all four guys are freaking ridiculously good. It was a good match, though, overall. But there was a couple spots in there in which was kind of lagging. But overall, I love this match. I enjoyed it.
Your thoughts, Justin?
Yeah, meh, okay for me. But yeah, kind of the same thing. I feel like I've seen it, and I know it's been different combinations, but I just had real no reason to get excited and up for this. So.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus needs to start protecting his size a little bit every once in a while. He does not doing it at all, and it's getting bad. 2 weeks ago, I watched him handstand flip through a double clothesline attempt from Chris Jericho and his tag partner. I think it was Sammy Guevara or somebody. He's 6'7". Like, it's virtually, no, it's physically impossible to do a handstand on your fists at 6'7". And somehow, like, the guy's clotheslines had to go like this. If you can see my hand. Over it. Do you know what I mean? It looked ridiculous. It's getting out of hand. He could do cool stuff. He's one of my favorite guys on the show. In fact, you guys asked me anybody I could work, who would I work? I said him, because I like how athletic he is. But, like, he's got to start protecting his size a little bit here. Because why would you want to wrestle like these other guys? Why would you want to wrestle like them all? You have something that's different and a gimmick on top of it.
Well, Matt, I agree with you, but just to play devil's advocate, or maybe why, is it because of the name Luchasaurus? He's in the
guess where his lucha comes in? Top rope crap, his kicks, stuff like that. It doesn't mean he needs to be coming off his feet like the rest of these.
Fair enough.
Short people.
There was this one spot in the match where, like, Jungle Boy was on Luchasaurus's shoulders or almost on his shoulders, and then Luchasaurus walked forward, and Jungle Boy jumped off, and his heels, like, hit Luchasaurus's, like, ears. It was a weird spot. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
What were they doing there? I don't know if something was mistimed or...
It was. It looked like he slipped, honestly. It looked like the old Big Sal spot with Little Guido is what they were attempting. And he just slipped, it looked like.
Yeah, it was weird. Z Rivera with the $5 super chat saying, Y2J got the title notice due to going viral with the bubbly and the lost title.
Yeah.
Which, the lost title wasn't on purpose. But funny. He did take it to another level after that. Social media helped elevate the title. I always forget that Mox is champ.
Seriously, me too.
Well, and I guess Mox too as champion. There was an extended period of time, you know, in the earlier part of this pandemic where he wasn't on because he just physically wasn't there. So that didn't help.
That's true. And his promos have been fire. Like, I'm not taking anything away from him. His promos have been absolute money. Like, honestly, same with his match with Darby just last week, right? I just, again, we're talking about the very first champion of your company. You just got done saying earlier, Raj, you know, you want these titles to mean more, so these people should have them for a longer period of time and really, really build it up. So when someone beats that person, it means more. You're right. I just don't think that John Moxley needed it. That's all.
Yeah. And I think his attire or something, I don't know. I think he doesn't look like a main event, like a larger-than-life star out there. And I just think something needs to change. But his promos are money, and his matches are super strong.
His first night he did. First night, that was the biggest I've ever seen him look. Mm-hmm. Physically, and I'll argue virtually, like as far as larger-than-life superstar. That night when he came in, that dude, I was like, holy crap, he's like Stone Cold. I'm not exaggerating. Like, that was the reaction I felt watching him debut on AEW. Remember how hot that was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had a backstage segment where Santana and Ortiz took the best friend's luggage, emptied them out in the showers, and dumped a bunch of bleach on them.
Good one, guys.
And then for whatever reason, they turned on the shower, and the shower head was pointing away from the luggage. So it was just wasting water. So I don't know if the wasting water was a sign of destruction.
Good thing Glenn's not hosting. Glenn would have given us a PSA about water waste.
Yes. That was a drizzling shits for a segment. Just pointing that out.
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
And up next, we had the FTR and the Young Bucks hosting Tag Team Appreciation Night. You had Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, the Rock and Roll Express in there. So right off the bat, I'm super excited about this. And then the Bucks were putting the Rock and Roll Express over. FTR were thanking Arn and Tully. Ricky Morton took the mic. It wasn't the best. I think he was saying that FTR had amazing chemistry and the Young Bucks have done amazing things. Arn took the mic, putting the Young Bucks over, said the FTR is the best tag team in the world. Then Tully, for whatever reason, took the mic. He said that Tom Brady is the best because he's got rings. I felt like this was starting to get off the rails. He said that those in wrestling can talk about being the best when they have titles, and neither team have that tonight.
That was good. I like that part. They're saying you guys calling yourself the best. You're not the champs. Where do you get off calling yourself the best?
Yeah. It just seemed kind of forced. I don't know. Then Sean Spears came out. Arn left to the back when he saw it. He figured there was a setup coming. Then Sean Spears started. Let's see what happened here. Oh, yeah. Ricky Morton popped Tully in the face. They started shoving each other. And then I believe, was it Dax Harwood that started selling it, that acted like he hurt his knee?
Yeah, FTR and the Bucks and everybody were trying to set up the older generation in the process. Dax looked like he misstepped and that his knee, which had a brace on it from the week prior, the drop to the ground, was acting like his knee was messed up. So
while they were in the ring, the Bucks were outside, and then the Rock and Roll Express were still inside, and then FTR took Harwood's brace and then attacked the Rock and Roll Express out of nowhere. And then they spike pile drove Ricky Morton.
Who sold it like a champ.
Yeah.
He's 60 something years old. He sold it like a champ.
Yeah. So I don't think AEW was copying WWE here, but this week we had Ric Flair punted and Ricky Morton spiked pile drove. But
yeah, to be fair to AEW, they called it, they said this was going to be Tag Team Appreciation Week.
Yeah. I think it's a coincidence.
So we knew they were going to be there. This was awesome. I enjoyed this segment.
I did too. At first, I thought this was everybody just kissing each other's ass, putting everybody over. And then, I thought, okay, it's going off the rails. Tully's doing a forced heel promo. But then it all makes sense. They needed to create some friction between Tully and other people to get everybody distracted with that. I'm glad they're playing off, said this last week, glad they're, with Dax getting injured and it gave reason now for there to potentially be tension between them and the Bucks. I thought this was great. When it all got said and done, this felt so picture perfect. A tag team appreciation night, old school generation right there, finally turning on the Bucks, which everybody was waiting for. This is something that in real life I could have seen the Bucks months ago texting FTR saying, we'll have the old generation in there, we'll put everybody over, and you guys get to turn on us there. Like, I can see this being something that's a pitch. It's so appealing to FTR, being that they're such wrestling tag team, fans of it. I like this. This maybe might have been my favorite segment of all of Dynamite.
Yeah. Like I said, I thought it got a little rough in there for a little bit, but then it all made sense, and then the ending was awesome. So it's very effective. FTR out there cutting promos in the ring, stuff they didn't get to do in WWE. So, it's good to see them finally being able to showcase their talent. Up next in the back, you had Alex Marvez talking to Mike Chioda. Chris Jericho showed up. He basically said that he saved Chioda's job 18 years ago and that basically asked Chioda to help him out tonight, and if he does, he'll get a job with AEW. So apparently saying Mike Chioda is not quite yet hired. So we'll follow this Mike Chioda story for Matt Morgan here.
If you didn't end it with that, I was going to call you the same thing as Vip.
I think I should text Matt every update and story on Wrestling Inc. we have of it, because he has nothing to do during the days. He's waiting for me to text him updates on Mike
Matt's
Chioda.
Matt's out the campaigning, getting the Chioda update number six.
I love Chioda for the record.
So they gave the women about 3 minutes here with Hikaru Shida versus Heather Monroe. It's a non-title match, really quick. Hikaru Shida suplexed Monroe into the corner, forearmed her to the face, went for the Falcon Arrow, got a counter. Shida stretched out Monroe and forced her to tap out. So Hikaru Shida winning by submission. This was the only women's segment on the show. I bet Glenn would be going nuts if he was hosting tonight.
But of course he would. This was designed, as far as what it was designed to do, your champion went over strong. I have no problem with that. Should there have been more, women's segments on? Depends on where these women were in their storylines. Do you know what I mean? There's so much that's been put out in the, I've been watching the women's tag team tournament. I think it's pretty damn good, actually. I've enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's kind of a catch 22 right now, where they haven't gotten many women over to where they help ratings, and so, you know, they're really into the ratings right now, and the women's segments have been losing at least the last few weeks. So
yeah,
they need to build up the stronger women characters.
Well, give them time to some of them, like Vicky Guerrero. I mean, I think that was a good marriage. I would definitely, I would put her on every week.
Penelope Ford. I mean, you have.
Yes.
And then, I mean, you have all these women in the tournament. You saw Ivelisse a couple of weeks ago. Oh. You haven't seen her again.
What's her name? Diamante. They tag team this past week. I watched. That was freaking awesome. Yeah. They're a good tag team.
And who was the, God, what was her name? The Fiend. The woman Fiend.
Abaddon.
Abaddon. Yes. Still hasn't been seen on Dynamite since her debut, where she looked awesome. Yes.
I almost wonder with Abaddon if, like, because I saw a lot of positive reaction on social media and then on podcasts that particular Dynamite. I almost wonder if they realize they have something in her, but they don't. But it's like, you know, it is like a Fiend kind of thing. You can't just keep, like, you have to protect the character. So I almost wonder if they said, we don't really have something right at this moment for her because we have all this other stuff going on. But I almost wonder if they've – I know she did another AEW Dark match a couple weeks ago, but I almost wonder if they've kept her off of Dynamite waiting to, like, build something around, or waiting until something becomes available to give her a story that they can really actually push.
Yeah. Yeah, and that could be. Backstage, after the match, Tony Schiavone asked Hikaru Shida about having a lot of challenges for her title and who she wants to face, and she said she's still waiting. Bring it on. Then next we had a backstage segment with Jake the Snake Roberts, who was with Lance Archer. Roberts was cutting a really cool promo. A random guy walked in front of them, and then Archer beat the hell out of him, and then some other random guy in the back. Roberts started talking about them owning someone, and anyway, Archer started yelling at Jake, like saying, did you do it, or something like that, and Roberts said, not yet, or something to that effect. And then,
Did you tell them yet?
Did you tell them? That's what it was. And so,
what do you think? Go ahead. Finish. Sorry.
Oh, so then Lance then went, ripped Jake Roberts' shirt off, asked him to turn around, and Jake Roberts had "Everybody Dies" written on his back.
What did you think about that? I love Lance. I want to think that's awesome, but tell me what you all thought of that.
It was odd to see him ripping Jake's shirt off, but I'll say this. I do like the I like the gimmick, the relationship between he and Jake. Of, like, you know, Jake's been known to obviously be the sadistic guy his whole career. I like the fact that even he's like, we don't have to go that far. You don't have to kill this guy. You don't have to hurt all these. Like, I like how he's trying to, like, actually control Lance and try to tame him in. But Lance, you know, like, I mean, that's.
Or make Lance look crazier than him. Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
It's like a Kimchi and Kamala kind of thing. Or Slick and Kamala trying to tame the beast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
So AEW won't be airing next Wednesday night. They'll be on next Saturday. Also next Saturday, NXT TakeOver 30. And we'll be back here with the Wrestling Inc. podcast that night. Up next, we had our main event, Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy. If Jericho won, Orange Cassidy would have to pay $7,000 for Jericho's jacket. Which, have you guys noticed his jacket is like five times more orange than...
Always. There's definitely an inside rib on this. Yes. Every week it's way more orangey.
I mean, this week there's like not a spot you could find that didn't have orange on it. Now, anyway, so they had a good match. I wouldn't say it was as good as their last one, but it was a fine match. Towards the finish, they had Mike Chioda. The Inner Circle came out to interfere. Mike Chioda was looking out, and Jake Hager ran from around the ring and planted Orange Cassidy down on the mat. Jericho went for the cover, but as you know in wrestling today, that means a two count. Orange Cassidy got up. Jericho hit a cheap low blow. What happened at this end? Oh, Jericho went for the Judas effect, and Jericho missed. Cassidy hit a mousetrap pin for the win. So Orange Cassidy got the win via pinfall. So, and it looked like they were going to that finish. Like they realized they were going over because they rushed that roll up at the end.
They did. I just, again, don't know how to explain it. You know, I said all I wanted to say about this match in the beginning, because I don't want to. I like Orange Cassidy. I don't like crapping on him. There's nothing against him. It's just I don't. Even the cross body, like he just did a plain Jane cross body off the top rope. Did you see that? Like toward the end, I'm like, that's in your main event. We have all these guys on AEW that could do triple Lindy, quadruple salts. Off okay. the top, and like I'm watching, it's a boring ass crossbody of a guy 150 pounds mm-hmm. getting knocking down a 220 pound guy. Like it's just so I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Raj, to the point of because I mean, obviously the roll up looked really struggling and botched, and to the point of them rushing, looked like they're running out of time. Were they 100% live real time, or were they like, did like they start taping this like maybe like 15 minutes before 8, like did they have any wiggle room of editing, or were they truly ending that match at 9:59 Eastern time?
I believe this was live. I could be mistaken, but I think.
Well, I know tonight was being like, I know what happened right,
it
tonight.
It was today, but I'm saying
like, did they give themselves like a, you know, a little bit of pad, is essentially?
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
It's interesting.
Yeah, Kazarian X with the $5 super chat saying you couldn't watch AEW tonight as it didn't air on TNT. It didn't air on TNT, but love the pod, and I love the Io Shirai promo tonight.
What does he mean he couldn't watch it?
I don't know.
He was busy.
Maybe not on the TNT app? I don't know. Not sure. Justin Lopez with the $5 super chat saying, I got a feeling we're going to see a rubber match at All Out, because I don't know where you go with these guys this close to the pay-per-view. That's a good call, because there's no natural program for him.
Well, and there's still the Tyson stuff that's dangling out there. They did all that work to like set up Jericho and Tyson for something, so I figured it'd be for All Out.
I forgot all about Tyson.
Yeah, but Tyson's fighting who is it? Roy Jones Jr. So I don't think he's going to do anything with AEW until that's done. At least not physical. Ski 87 saying he likes the title being built up and he thinks Darby will beat Cody for it.
Maybe not physical, but could you imagine Tyson just in Orange Cassidy's corner? Tyson's a new best friend. Could you imagine Mike Tyson standing next to Orange Cassidy? Not to do anything physical. He can literally do what he did at Mania 14. He can come in and deliver one punch, and that'd be that.
Right. And Tyson Roy Jones, let me pull that up here. That was supposed to be, I believe, it's scheduled now for November 28th. It was supposed to take place, I believe, in October, or was it September? September 12th.
Maybe they wait and use Tyson closer to that September 12th. Maybe they wait and do it closer to the actual date to do the crossover promotion. I mean,
yeah, and they got AEW will have their full gear pay per view that month. So, we'll see. Kazarian X pointing out that the Book of Eli and Mad Max showed on TNT in Houston. That's weird.
Why? Huh? I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Justin, you want to take over NXT?
Yeah, let's
go. Go ahead, drive, Justin.
I'm going to drive. Scoot over, Raj. All right, well, we open it up with what they promoted it was going to be, which I was psyched for. Karrion Kross coming out with Scarlett, did their normal entrance. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Tim versus Danny Burch, and this is exactly what it needed to be. Danny Burch, you know, trying to keep coming at him, but Karrion Kross keeps shutting him down. eventually, it's all too much for Burch. Cross gets the win again, as he should, with the cross jackets choke. But the real thing, and this is one of the, you know, I must see if you didn't watch NXT after the match, Keith Lee comes out, and Keith Lee's coming looking like he means business. Scarlett and Karrion Kross got outside the ring. Keith Lee cuts an awesome promo, one of the best fired up promos. That's like my one knock with him, is not as fired up on promos. Fired up promo, has a contract, wants Karrion Kross to get his name on there, throws the contract down. Scarlett grabs it. Cross signs it, then Scarlett brings it back. This is very slow, and they're unfolding this drama with tight camera shots. Scarlett kisses the contract and slides it back to Keith. And then Keith picks it up and goes to open so he can verify it. Fireball comes out. Keith's eyes, face all burned up. I mean, this was the most exciting contract signing ever.
That was freaking awesome, is what that was. Awesome. All around awesome.
That was creative, unique, you know, with contract signings, we've seen it all, but this is going to stand out because I can't remember the last time you saw a fireball in wrestling on a big scale, like WWE or.
It's been botched the last few times people have done it, actually. It's been
right, like that was Hogan and the Warrior. Yeah.
Yeah. This was perfect. I did not see that coming. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, no, it was really effective. I thought this was one of the best contract signing in years. So
and he's right. Keith's promo was awesome. It this is where it's benefit for the thing I couldn't do in my promos, which was talk in that lower voice that like Keith Lee talks in for so many months. So now when he's in fifth gear and he's finally has something to be pissed about, we all know what Keith Lee now looks like when he gets pissed off over something. Finally. Yeah. This is a good, that's a good thing. These are 2 weeks in a row we saw him kind of in fifth gear with his promos, which is great, intense.
Yeah. So real now.
Real quick, a couple super chats. Arian Gomez saying they need to make the Orange Jericho match be no DQ. I mean, I guess I don't really want to see it, but
really, I don't want to see it. Why are you, Arian? Why do you want to see it? Like, seriously, like, I think Orange Cassidy's hilarious. I do. I just don't. I don't know.
And what do you mean no DQ? They don't call DQs in AEW.
Right. they have had no DQ matches, but it's when you don't do DQs, what's the point?
He wants to see hardcore Orange Cassidy.
Yeah. Tina Miller has a beef with you, Matt. She says, you said that Keith Lee uses too many big words, and why do big guys have to talk like goons? He's got a Beast from X-Men thing going on.
Oh, buckle up, Tina Miller. Buckle up, friend. So, your boy here graduated college magna cum laude. That's not what I said. Vince McMahon, I don't know, maybe you heard of him, the owner of WWE, told the creative team that Matt Morgan, uses too many big words. And I remember telling Vince, that makes no sense. I graduated again. Communications, third in my class. Like, that's kind of my thing. It's my strength. That's how I talk. It's natural. And you tell us to be natural, sir. That's me being natural. Sorry, I'm using $50 words. I'm not trying to use $50 words. This is how I talk. And that's when I was literally all but told to dummy it down. So what I said with Keith Lee was, Vince and WWE, if you go back and listen to it properly, will not, that there's perception is reality. And I see it when I was there. I used to get so pissed off when they used to tell me this. And Paul Heyman stepped in and was like, well, you know what? Why not have Matt be like the first thinking man's giant, if you will, right? Like, what's wrong with that? Paul was on par with it, but nobody else wasn't creative. They wanted you to be crapping thunder and spitting lightning, whatever the saying is, right? And they wanted you to do the fee, fi, fo, fum, on big, fat, slow, and dumb giant promo crap that's played out, and it was played out back when I was there too. And so what I said was, with Keith Lee, that the words he's using and how he talks, the dude looks like he's ready to read poetry. That's not an insult, my friend. That's a compliment. The dude is a very well-spoken young man. But for WWE, if you watched where he was in his intensity tonight, it's my argument right there in a capsule. Keith Lee was a main event promo, not because of the words, because of the intensity. Very big difference between the two.
Man, I would have loved if they actually let you be the thinking man's giant and you could use like a big word in a promo and go, that's a 30-point Scrabble word. You know, like some things like that. All right. So moving on. So this was kind of a nice touch that they do. So they go, NXT tries to go into the next match, which is Drake Maverick versus Killian Dane. But what they do is they split screen and they have the match and what's taking place in the ring happening. But on the other screen, they follow Keith Lee. They never cut away. They did it like as a one take shot. They followed Keith Lee, who's fighting off medical help. You know, he's selling the burn of the fire, and they follow him all through the arena. And this was really, really good because, I mean, this again, they don't often do it. But we see this, and Matt, I think like this was just a great way to really like do something different to really sell the severity of what just happened here with this unique angle.
Money. This was literally the definition of a money angle.
Yeah, and I'm glad they did it because there was a couple months ago. Remember Keith Lee got poked in the eyes with keys, and then he was fine like a couple minutes later. So it just took out all the effectiveness from it. So, yeah, I definitely agree. It definitely made it feel like a big deal.
You know, we talked about Cody and Brody earlier, like, you know, who's going to win, who's going to lose. Cross and Keith Lee, man. I mean, you can't, like, talk about a decision of booking, of having to get creative here.
It has to be Keith Lee getting called up.
You know, as much as I've been finding AEW Dynamite to be the most entertaining show in this COVID era, usually week after week, the two best built matches right now are Keith Lee and Karrion Kross and Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre.
Karrion Kross, Keith Lee, yeah. Okay.
Orton and Drew, especially after last week.
What about FTR Bucks?
It's been watered down. We'll see where they go from here, but by having them team together and they lost, and I don't know.
Okay, I don't like them teaming together either. I agree with that part. Yeah, like they would never be friends. FTR has been doing shoot promos that they want to take the Young Bucks' heads off for disrespecting them.
Right.
So, like, yeah, they wouldn't be hanging out, but still.
Yeah, and they had a development tonight, so we'll see.
So they eventually cut away from Keith Lee. He's going to go to a medical facility, as it would be called. So we get Drake versus Killian Dain, this match going on, but as this match is going on, we cut away to the parking lot. Undisputed Era shows up, and then a minute or so later, they've made it to the ring. They just completely come in, hijack this match, beat up both Killian Dain and Drake Maverick, and then Adam Cole, who's all fired up off of what happened to him from Pat McAfee the week prior, cuts a promo on McAfee, basically, supposedly Pat McAfee's coming here next week. If he comes here, I'm going to tell him to his face that I'm going to whoop his ass, because these two are going to have a match at TakeOver a week from Saturday.
Ooh. Ooh. I'm going to talk crap to your face.
I like that they're trying to add a little feel of reality to it, like by doing it on the podcast. And then
yes, that part's cool.
But there's something lacking in this that I don't care.
That the non-wrestler and a kicker in the NFL, no less, dwarfs Adam Cole. I don't like that. I don't think that's a good look. Yeah. You got to protect the guy. I wish they would protect him better. Now, the argument is, Matt, come on. The dude's like on a national platform now. I would argue, is he really? Is that show that he was on, really? It wasn't SportsCenter, folks.
Right. Yeah, and he didn't really get that much play, outside of the internet. Like if you're watching, SportsCenter or anything.
It made him look like a jerk, which I don't like because I like Adam Cole. I was like, they should have reversed this. I don't know. I usually like this kind of stuff, the crossover stuff. Yeah. I usually mark out for it. But I don't know. We'll see. It's different. So we'd be applauding it for being different, maybe. I don't know.
It kind of feels like Adam Cole's he's a little bit of a stuck position because, there's nothing, he was champion in NXT for so long. So there's not, he's not going to go fight for the North American title. There's no other title to do. But at the same point, there's not a spot for him at the moment to go to Raw or SmackDown. Like, it would be a force feed if you try to just plop him in someplace. And he's too good of a talent just to force feed. So it's kind of like Triple H still has him in NXT, which is yay. It's like, all right, what do we do? Let's do the cross promotional thing. Right. And, that's kind of what it feels like, because there's nothing else for him. There's nowhere else for him to go at this very moment until they get through SummerSlam and can reset some storylines on Raw and SmackDown.
And there is talk of them doing a draft in October. So, real quick, Raven Johnson with the $2 super chat saying Scarlett really is a hot item. All right.
Yeah.
And Justin Lopez saying if Lee drops it, it'll keep him looking strong since he'll be at a disadvantage. He was blinded. So if he loses to Karrion Kross because he's still kind of blinded.
I see what he's saying.
It depends how they play it. Like, he's coming out with an eye patch. I feel like they've already done the eye patch recently, but
no eye patch. Please, no eye patch.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. So next up, we get we see the flashback from last week of how Santos Escobar and crew have been attacking people in the parking lot, how they did so with Breeze and Dango. They got Fandango last week. So this week, we're getting Santos Escobar in a match versus Tyler Breeze. Of course, they're selling that we haven't seen Fandango since, so where is he? A good match back and forth. Basically, it gets down to the point of where it looks like Breeze is going to get the win here. He's got the supermodel kick, gets ready to go for the pin, but then we see Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde run out, cuts him off, and eventually Escobar hits the Phantom Driver and gets the pin. So Santos Escobar and crew standing tall here as Tyler Breeze looks like he's in a regular now featured NXT feud, which I'll never complain about that. Okay. Moving on.
Breezango, they don't do anything for me at this point. And I don't know, man. Tyler Breeze, he needs a heel turn. He needs something because he's just been, I don't know, he's just been stuck for so long. Fandango, too.
I don't like that they changed his character from day one. I thought it was fine the way it was.
Yeah. I kind of wonder. You know, they had a, he had a unique entrance with a selfie stick and it being up on the Titantron, and
it was different.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Tina wants to clear something up. she's saying she spent more to say that she misheard. She there you go.
Don't spend more. No, I hate when you guys do that. Tina, just tweet me. No, I feel good when you guys do this.
I like more dynamics to the bigger guys. I hate the Gurr, so, beat me up, Gurr crap. Lee is fresh air to me.
Yes. You can steal this from me. It's called fee, fi, fo, fum, I'm big, fat, slow, and dumb. You can steal it from me. That is what they want everyone to do. And it's Vince thinks you need to wrestle how you look, is how he used to say it to me. You look like this, but then when you talk, you're like an English teacher. Okay, we'll make it work. That's not my fault. That's your creative team. Make that work. You know what I mean? So there is a saying about working, you know what I mean? Talking like you work to a degree, or talking like you look, you know? And so this is an example of where Keith Lee hit today of the crescendo that, God, I hate the small camera. This crescendo, I'm trying to do a crescendo you can't see with the stupid camera, with my fingers, of him building to Hulk. He's been he's done a great job of being Bruce Banner, right? In the last 2 weeks, that boy has been incredibly intense. And I want to watch him. We've always wanted to watch him, but now I really want to watch him because I want to see an unleashed Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross. That is a WrestleMania, in my opinion, money feud. You know what I mean by that? And they've done a good job of building him there. And it's because they've done a very good job of being patient with Keith Lee, letting him be himself, talk like the way he normally talks. But I'm telling you right now, if Keith Lee was in WWE when I was there, they would never let that fly in how he talks. No way. Can't you get dumber? Or like something. That's what it felt like. It was insane what I was being told.
Yeah. Stephen Marchicelli saying, is Adam Cole like a young HBK? How about Triple H versus Adam Cole?
Okay. I would take that. You guys want to take that? I would take Adam Cole versus HBK.
Oh, yeah. I mean, HBK, yeah. He didn't look that great last time. I mean, Adam Cole would look really small next to Triple H.
Yes, but not. That's why I say HBK instead.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but you're right. It's not just that he's short, he's super skinny.
No.
Like, did you not notice that? Like, when he's standing next, like when he was on that podcast or that show with the kicker. What's the name of it? Whatever it was, when he went bananas and started breaking everything and cutting a heel promo on him.
Yeah.
Like, he stood up like tough guy, and I'm like, everyone in this room, including the guy with the headset's bigger than him.
Yeah. And by no means do I think you have to be a giant to make it. I just know that Vince has a certain criteria, and you have to work 30 times harder. What's that?
Finn Balor is not a skyscraper, but look at him. He's shredded. Like, I don't know. Whatever. We gotta stop trying to pretend to be super delicate about this. I'm sorry. My pro wrestlers, I want them to look like they can kick somebody's ass. I don't want them looking like my neighbor. I could pay money to watch my neighbor every day cut his lawn. You know, that's fantastic.
I like how you're looking over at where your neighbor's house is,
making sure Jeff, they can't hear.
His name is Jeff. That's my buddy.
I like it. Hey, Jeff. Jeff, come here. Let me show the resemblance between you and Adam Cole.
He's not out. I was hoping he was. But for real, do you know what I mean? Like, and Adam's an amazing wrestler. So there's the difference of what my neighbor can't do in the ring, right? But, I mean, physically speaking, I'm a mark for that. I'm not saying Ultimate Warrior size. I'm just saying, like, again, Finn Balor.
But what that look. I know what you mean, and I usually like the bigger, hey, this looks like somebody walking to an airport, this person stands out. But I will say, you know, what Adam Cole might lack in not having the abs that a Finn Balor has, Adam Cole certainly makes up with the charisma. And so if he's allowed to exude that charisma, that does make him feel a little bit larger. But yeah, when you just do the eye test, I mean, there is a...
Yeah, I think it would just be like a CM Punk, Daniel Bryan situation where it would just take a while, where you have to overproduce in a lot of ways and go above expectations.
So when he stood up, when he went boinkers on that show, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when I kind of noticed it. It never really stood out to me until I saw again, like the key grip or whatever the guy's role on the show with the headset.
Mm-hmm.
Who has colitis or whatever they said, came up to him. He was bigger than him. And it's like, I'm like, nobody would sell for this guy going bonkers right now. Everyone in this room could kick his ass.
And that's and when you see that, Matt, that's what makes you then appreciate Adam Cole as a leader of Undisputed Era, because he stands next to a bunch of other guys that he is either the same size or bigger than.
Yeah, and that's why I think the other guys in the Undisputed Era, they're screwed on the main roster. They're good to stay in NXT.
O'Reilly wrestling different does help him. His style's different, but again, it's that the first 3 seconds. There's a test that we always had in WWE. It is the first 2.5 to 3 seconds of you coming out in your entrance that you have. It's going to make or break you. They always said. People give you that first opportunity of how you walk down to the ring first, then what kind of wrestler you are second. Nowadays, people want to see what kind of wrestler you are. I agree. But that eye test, a lot of these, like O'Reilly and them, don't pass it.
Yeah. All right, pick it back up. One thing I didn't mention, though, Isaiah Swerve Scott did come out. He helped fight off, eventually, Legado del Fantasma. So that was how the heels got under the ring. Yeah.
Thank God you fixed that. I wasn't going to be able to go to sleep tonight until you fixed that.
Matt, I would get roasted
if I didn't hearing about it all week.
I didn't mention that Isaiah Swerve Scott came out.
Open your own shows. How about that? Sorry.
All right, we get video package for Dakota Kai versus Io Shirai at TakeOver. So we get that one there. Kai says the captain will become the new champion at TakeOver. We also get a vignette for Ridge Holland. They're really hyping up Ridge Holland. We did see him last week, but he's a guy from NXT UK. They're really kind of, there's a lot of chatter. Maybe Raj can expand on it, that some people feel that he might be one of the next big projects for the main roster.
Yeah, he has a good look. He hasn't been on NXT UK that much that I've seen, but yeah, he has good look, and he's someone to keep your eye out on.
This is where, for me, NXT starts just to fall off. I started really losing some interest, but this is the last really positive thing that I enjoyed at the moment was Indy Hartwell is in the ring. She's going to have a match, and it's going to be against Mia Yim. Indy's in the ring. We then cut to Mia Yim. Mia Yim, of course, significant other of Keith Lee. Mia gets caught up with, she's still kind of putting her gear on real fast. I was talking to the interviewer. You know, she was just with Keith at the medical facility and gives the update on him. I like this. It's a nice touch. I mean, you know, I am good consistency to continue to sell Keith Lee.
Good transition. Very good transition. Yeah. I liked it. I agree.
So we got a match here between these two, back and forth.
And the one thing I like about that, because what they always do is wait until after a segment and then go, and it just doesn't feel organic. But when they do it this way, where they cut away, and back in WCW, they used to always do that, where they cut away from a boring match, and you know the NWO is arriving, or you know something's happening backstage, and it just made it feel more real.
Yeah. So this was a back and forth. Indy got some stuff in here, but ultimately after some drop kicks and missed kicks, and ultimately Mia Yim gets the victory via submission, gets Hartwell to tap. I was kind of surprised in this that I thought this would be kind of an open shot for at least Scarlett to come out and do something dastardly to Mia.
To Mia. Me too. I thought so too.
Raj?
Yeah. No real thoughts.
Okay. Raj, no real thoughts, Gary.
It was there.
It was there as it were. Yes. See what I did there? Combined two of their catchphrases.
All right. We see Finn Balor in the video. He's hyping up the triple threat tonight between Kushida, Cameron Grimes, and the mystery participant. Balor, of course, has his eyes on winning the North America title at TakeOver. We get a Bronson Reed package. Or we see him backstage, getting ready, because up next is his match versus Damian Priest. So this one here, going at it, both of these guys are going to be involved in the ladder match next week. Again, this is a really good match. I said earlier that NXT started to trail off, but I forgot this. This was an enjoyable one, back and forth. Surprisingly to me, Bronson Reed, but I guess you need, because you're building all these guys up. Bronson Reed gets the victory here clean. He avoids Priest's The Reckoning and then turns it into a jackknife pin for the win. So Priest was up last week. Bronson Reed gets won this week. So they're certainly trying to make all of these guys look viable in this five-way ladder match next week.
Yeah, it was there.
I mean, I'm kind of with you, Justin. I was kind of starting to trail off on NXT and was paying more attention to AEW at this point. I mean, I like Damian Priest, Bronson Reed. He just doesn't do it for me yet. He's got good size and everything, but he looks like so many other guys we've seen, like Bull Dempsey and Killian Dane and the Elk and just big messy guy, long hair and a beard. And
what's all this cool stuff we got at the bottom of our screen here now?
Yeah, you like it?
I do. It's very cool looking. When did that start?
It's a little bedazzled.
59 minutes ago.
I like
59 minutes ago.
59 minutes ago.
Don't you watch the program, son? Hey, what was it Jim Ross killed John Morrison with?
Right,
Don't
yeah.
Don't you watch the product?
When John Morrison and then Morrison went and did the backspin right after he said that.
Yes. He was working them.
Yeah. Or they cut away and they're like, hey, man, you got to act like you know what the show is. So go do a backspin.
Yeah,
because he was asked to do a spin-a-rooney.
Yes.
Yeah.
This next one's it was a women's tag match. I'll have to be honest. This one was hard for me to keep up with because I was so embedded on. I think the FTR Buck segment was going on this one, so I'll have to go back and watch it to give it a full one. But it was Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter up against Aaliyah and Mercedes Martinez. Of course, Aaliyah and Mercedes Martinez are with the Robert Stone brand. Ultimately, here. Mercedes Martinez and Aaliyah get the win. Martinez with the hitting the air raid for the pin here. So Robert Stone ran good.
This was good. Mercedes, I thought, needed this win. This was fine. I was good with this.
Yeah, and I liked how they were trying to recruit Casey Catanzaro at the beginning. I think she's another one. Like she's small, but she can do some super cool stuff, and I think she's going to be something special. I think they're going to change her name. Now, we were tweeting about this, Justin. I don't see
it'll Vince be KC. It'll be the initials KC.
Right. It'll just be KC or just Casey. But yeah.
Yeah. What I like about her is I don't think she did. I think she's the one that does that entrance where she goes around to the ring post and scales up the ring post. Isn't that her?
Yeah. She did that at the Royal Rumble, right, where she was being eliminated. She did some spot like that. Yeah. Where she did something just crazy freaky.
Because she's American Ninja Warrior. That's what her fame is, right?
Yeah.
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 After this match, though, Rhea Ripley, her music hits, and she comes out, and they basically are setting up for now. Rhea Ripley looks like her and Mercedes Martinez. That's what the big push is going to be for that.
She's cool. That's a cool match.
It is. And what sucks is Mercedes needs that. Rhea Ripley can't lose, but by the same token, neither can Mercedes. She just started. She just started getting this momentum on top of it. So,
yeah, but I think since Mercedes is in this little group now, she has and you can have Robbie kind of be the fall guy, the foil. Yeah, I think it's more important for Rhea. I mean, Rhea. I mean, look, not to be ageist here, but Mercedes is like 38, 39 years old. I think she's there long term to be like a trainer, to be a veteran at the PC. Rhea's 23. Rhea's your long term investment. I think she needs to get the victory into this.
I hope WWE got that memo because
I agree, but
they keep screwing Rhea.
Exactly. I thought at the last pay per view, at the last takeover, that. You know, Rhea beating Charlotte or Io beating Charlotte was a no-brainer.
For sure.
They had Io beating Rhea, so.
Made no sense.
Yeah, they keep dropping the ball on her.
They do.
So then we go to a very interesting video of At Home with Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. LeRae's reading like a scary story to the dog while Gargano's on a ladder trying to fix a light bulb.
Started like she was cutting a scary promo, right?
Yeah, and Gargano starts cutting a scary promo and basically just putting down Priest, Reed, all the other competitors in the North American title match. I don't even really know how to describe this other than just, I guess, watch it. It was like a mix of like a horror, like on one hand they're like the white bread happy couple in suburban home, and then it was switched to horror. I'm not sure, but. Making sure we hear from all the competitors that are going to be in this match. We get another Timothy Thatcher training session where he does more of his catch-as-catch-can and makes these guys green tap. Basically, he's trying to be like Stu Hart. So there's that. We hype up Pat McAfee and Adam Cole face off next week on NXT, on Wednesday night. Keith Lee update. basically said that Karrion Kross is going to be a dead man. That's what we're hearing from Vic Joseph on the commentary. And go to WWE.com for an update. And then we go to our main event, which is we know it's going to be Kushida versus Cameron Grimes versus a mystery opponent to get in and qualify for the title match, the ladder match at TakeOver. And that mystery opponent is the Velveteen Dream. So, Raj, when was the last time you saw Dream? Was it the outdoor match with Adam Cole?
Yeah, he was on. He was on a backstage segment the week after, but that was it. So, yeah, there were some with the Me Too stuff. There were some allegations against him. We had reached out to WWE. They provided no comment, which on a lot of the other guys they did. Apparently, whatever happened was sorted out. I don't know, yeah, he's back.
So Dream back, and I mean, at the end, this is a fun little match here, but the point of it, what gets to the end here, is we actually get Kushida, who's got a submission hold on Dream. Excuse me. Grimes comes in, basically breaks it up, pushes Dream outside, and comes in and knocks out Kushida and gets the victory here. So Cameron Grimes has qualified. He's going to be in the 5-way ladder match for the North American title. So are you a little surprised, Raj, they'd have Dream come back to be the surprise guy, but have him lose? And then what we see afterwards is Dream goes banana and just goes unhinged, and that's how we go off the air.
And then Finn Balor came out. So it's going to be Dream versus Finn Balor, and the winner of that gets put in that match in that second chance thing. I was a little surprised. Cameron Grimes, they are filling this matchup with, I don't know, just people I don't care about. No offense.
Yes. You're right.
Matt has had a long day.
You should feel that way.
Yeah.
All right, so that was NXT, folks. Better show tonight, Matt Morgan.
AEW.
Raj?
I thought NXT had the strongest segment with the Karrion Kross stuff. But AEW overall, as the overall show, I thought was better.
I would agree. NXT had the strong, that opener was killer. But I think overall AEW is going to be able to pack more in to their 2 hours, so they probably will get the victory here. Well, interesting to see. They did 901,000 last week, if they can top that.
I think they will.
Speaking of viewership, Raj, Raw went up again, second week in a row with an increase.
Yeah, it went up slightly.
Like 0.6%, right?
Yeah, it was like 7,000 viewers. But the bad part was their 18 to 49 rating dropped, and it did. I believe it did a 0.47, which, so AEW, last week's AEW beat Raw in a couple of demos, and AEW is up against NXT. We'll see how this week does, but this was the third lowest 18 to 49 number for Raw in history, even though they were up a little bit. So a little good news and some bad news. And one more thing, apparently SummerSlam will not be at the Performance Center. So they have found a location. It's not going to be in front of fans. So it's not, and it doesn't appear like it's going to be in Atlantic City. It's going to be somewhere in Florida, maybe a boat. They had been talking about it. The tagline is, "You're never going to see it coming." So maybe it has something to do with their location.
Maybe it's going to be a pay-per-view completely in the dark, and we never see it.
I think it's going to be in the front yard of Jeff in Longwood, Florida. That's
yeah.
All right, folks. Thank you. Follow everybody here on social media.
Take it back. Jeff didn't deserve that.
No, Jeff deserved that. Jeff's a kiss mark. There's your Carney talk, Morgan.
Angry note tomorrow.
All right. Jeff. Follow everybody on social media. Make sure you follow Wrestling Inc. for all your updates every day. We'll be back Friday night after SmackDown. I will not be, but some three people will be. Smoke them if you got them. Thanks, everybody. We're done.